stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick. And this week, for the special 100th episode edition of the Market Edge, yes, 100 of these, I'm joined by Zach's editor, Maddie Johnson, to discuss the bright side of retail, because with all the gloom and doom out there, there has actually been some good spots. And we wanted to take a look at who's really innovating in the area of retail and how you could invest in these companies to get in for possibly the future and what the future is looking like for retail. So we're going to take a look at who's looking outside the box and how you can take advantage. So welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. This is one of our favorite topics. We've discussed many things on retail over the course of Zach's Market Edge. And so it's only fitting that you're here for the 100th episode and we're talking about this again, but it has been on everybody's mind what's happening in retail. And all I ever see is it's doomed. You know, they're all going under. Yes. Everyone will be Amazoned. We'll only be shopping at Amazon. It'll be a sad world when that happens, and never buy any stock in a retailer. But that, you and I both agree, is just the wrong outlook.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. There's just too much going on. People still like to go to the brick and mortar. They like to buy online. We know both of those things. But there are a lot of retailers who are out there looking beyond what has been done in the past. And really, they really are trying to innovate. But, you know, we talked about it off mic here a couple times while we were discussing this topic. And a couple names stand out to both of us that some people will be aware are innovating and some will be kind of surprised, because there's at least one on here I'm like, what, really them? No. But we'll get to that one. But a couple of the names are the so-called winners, I would say, so far in retail.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah. Yep. So let's talk about, let's get right into it. One of the true innovators I feel right now is the furniture retailer formerly known as Restoration Hardware, but now they're just going by RH because it sounds cooler. And their ticker is RH. And this really isn't the same furniture retailer that most people remember with Restoration Hardware. They know the kind of dark stores with the gray paint, and they were at the shopping mall, but they've been slowly phasing out those stores and opening up what are these huge gallery stores. So they're going against the grain that brick and mortar is dead. And not just that, they're betting on bigger brick and mortar. And then they've added this other component of food in some of the stores. And that all came about by accident, it sounds like, whenever you hear the company talk about it, that they decided to add a restaurant to their Chicago gallery when they converted an old mansion in downtown Chicago into that big gallery. They put a cafe in the middle of it, and that turned out to be a huge success. They were doing like $3 million without doing any kind of dinner service at that restaurant, yes, which is like big numbers.
Just brunch, right?
Yeah. They're limited on the number of hours they can operate that store because it's in the middle of a residential neighborhood in Chicago. And originally, the neighborhood didn't even want them there, but the mansion had been sitting empty for a couple of decades, apparently, and no one else was going to buy it and do anything with it. But they were concerned about having this retail store in the middle of the neighborhood. So they restricted the number of hours the store could be open, and the same with the restaurant, which is why they can't do dinner service there. But even without that, it has really boosted that store and the neighborhood now. I don't think there's any complaints about it. But the interesting thing about the galleries is that you can't actually shop in them in the traditional way.
It's like an art gallery for furniture.
Yes.
And it's,
it showcases their products. Yeah. That's all.
And it, I mean, you walk in. I mean, I haven't been at the lines. Whenever I want to go, I always want to go for brunch, and the lines are always too long. So I clicked on the gallery link, shows all the furniture pictures, and it's absolutely stunning. And it's just right, like you said, it showcases the Restoration Hardware furniture. It's elegantly put together. I mean, there's six floors of just like what you would want to do for your dream home.
Right. It's selling the dream.
It really is.
Yeah. Whenever I feel depressed, I like want to go to the Restoration Hardware Chicago store and just wander around. I don't even need to eat there. They don't care. They just let you wander around. They also have nice bathrooms there, just FYI, if anyone's in that neighborhood. These are vital things if you're walking around. But it's just, you can actually get a glass of wine and wander around too if you feel like it. But it is just beautiful aesthetic, and that's working to sell their product because the CEO has said that the Chicago store is doing $50 million a quarter in sales, which is huge. And you're asking, like, how can they be doing that if you can't buy anything at the store? Because you can order from people who work there. They carry around iPads, and you can be like, hey, I want this. You can talk to designers on site and all of that.
Yeah. I was reading about it. They have like a rug showcase room. They have like a little area where they showcase all their fabrics and like their leather their leather finishes. It's really just, it's very special, and I feel like they've made furniture shopping special again.
Right. And they definitely are opening up these galleries nationwide. I think they're doing about 3 to 4 only a year because they are massive. They're set to open up one in West Palm Beach in November.
Okay.
And that's going to be 80,000 square feet.
Wow.
It is like its own standalone structure, which they like now because it lets in the natural light. You're no longer just like in this little weird cave building.
They were very dark.
Yeah.
Before.
So it's letting in the natural light. And they're putting a restaurant on the top floor because, again, they've discovered that the restaurant is pulling in traffic and foot traffic, and then people are buying more. So the restaurants and then onto themselves are successful. Now, you could say this isn't real innovative, which the company has said. Food has been in retail for forever. I can think of the old Marshall Field stores here in Chicago. Yeah. It's now owned by Macy's, but the flagship State Street store, which is the second largest Macy's in the country, and at the time was one of the largest retail stores in the country, owned by Marshall Field's, that had numerous restaurants in it, including still has the original Walnut Room restaurant mm-hmm. on its upper floors that's kind of famous in the holiday period. And it has like the walnut paneling, and they put a big Christmas tree there, and it's real popular then. I've heard talk that they're going to maybe renovate that or what. And the food is actually still pretty good in there. If you ever want like some, if you're down in the loop of Chicago, that's something to check out. So Macy's is still operating it as a restaurant. And then they have a food court in there because that building's so massive, but that's similar also to their San Francisco store, which has food incorporated.
Macy's is huge in San Francisco.
And this plays into what has always gone on in Europe. If you go to a European department store, you can actually shop in a supermarket or a market, like in the lower floors.
Have you
usually
been to Selfridges in London?
I'm not sure I went in there, but I've been in the Harrods and I've been in the Gallery Lafayette.
I was really impressed with Selfridges. I went in there multiple times when I was in London.
They have the markets in there?
They have, on the bottom floor. Yeah. You can get sushi, you can get bread, you can get donuts. It was amazing, just all in one.
Right. So, and then we have the ultimate furniture chain that does restauranting, which is IKEA. We can't leave them out.
The Swedish meatballs.
Swedish meatballs are awesome. We all know it. And I'm sure that also draws in people, like you're not leaving the store because you're getting hungry. You're staying in there. You're getting the food and you smell it and you're all happy. And then you're buying more stuff. So none of that is real innovative, but I feel like the innovation does come from the fact that they're doubling down on the brick and mortar, basically.
Sure.
They're adding these big gallery stores that aren't even real stores, and that appears to be working.
Yeah, and they're kind of blurring the line between what is retail, what is home, what is hospitality, what does retail mean in 2017? And I think that is really appealing to customers who shop, who want to shop, who want to go out and walk into a store and see like what it means to be a consumer.
Yeah. And for those of you who are saying like, couches are too expensive, who goes in there? They are on the upper price point.
They are.
But they admit that, and they admit that they're trying to appeal more to the designer community, the interior designers, mm-hmm. not necessarily, the average customer just off the street.
And I want to kind of go off of that. It's, they know who their customer is.
Yeah.
And you can't say that a lot about other retailers.
Right.
A lot of other retailers don't know who their customer is, and that's why they're struggling. Restoration Hardware knows who their consumer is, and they're building towards that. And I think that's impressive.
Now, if you are interested in buying this stock, I have been a long-term shareholder. Anyone who follows me on StockTwits knows all the debates we've had over there about Restoration Hardware. They did launch their modern line last year. It caused some chaos. I don't think they were fully ready to launch basically a whole nother furniture business. So they had some issues with inventory, with delivery. Things were bad. Stock plunged down. There's a huge short interest in it. Stock's up again. They bought a whole bunch of shares back and a huge percentage of the float. Stock's plunged again. Now it's back up. So you kind of have to have a strong stomach to be in this one. The estimates are rising again because it looks like they have figured out the whole launch of the modern and everything else that's going on. So supposed to see some good solid earnings growth this year and next year, but it's not for the faint of heart, this one. So just FYI. And as I said, I still own it in my personal portfolio. But let's talk about another furniture company, because there's another one that you and I could just go in and buy something and walk out, that's on a little bit on the lower end. And this is owned by I always call it TJ Maxx. It's TJ Companies or TJX Companies, right?
Yes.
With the ticker TJX. They own TJ Maxx and Marshalls, but they also own Home Goods, which people love. And that is just some like kind of light furniture, I like to say, and accessories, the pillows, kitchen goods, lighting, you know, if you need a lamp.
They have pet stuff. They have bedding. Yeah. They kind of just
home
have everything.
Stuff. You can't buy online through them. Or can you?
No,
you cannot. It's only in the stores.
Yeah,
with them.
TJX just started rolling out TJ Maxx's online stores.
But not Home Goods.
But not Home Goods.
Now, Home Goods, their same store sales have been real good even just the last couple of years. Last year, they averaged 8%, which is really high for the entire retail industry. And then this year so far, they're averaging about 6%. That is, again, still really high. But now they're launching a new home concept called HomeSense. It has opened already in Framingham, Massachusetts, which is, I think, the headquarters of the company. And now they're tackling the bigger furniture, I like to say, including actual sofas, the chandeliers. They just seem to be expanding more on the furniture category, which is a growth area, I think everyone who's in this area would agree. And then they also have redesigned the store so that when you walk in, you'll see things in like groupings, kind of like IKEA does too, where you get all those ideas where you can walk into the room and there's the couch and the things up on the wall and the colors on the wall. Everything's painted nice. It's like a little miniature room of what it could look like in your own house.
Right.
And so... this is like an expansion of the Home Goods model. They don't think it'll be cannibalizing Home Goods because you will be getting different items in both types of stores. So presumably the shopper of Home Goods who may need a couch or a bigger chair or a real chandelier, that kind of stuff, will be going over to HomeSense as well and shopping in both kinds of stores. So what do you think of this one? What do you think of Home Goods expanding into this, into much more of the furniture category?
Well, I will say whenever I go into Home Goods, I spend an incredible amount of money. So that same store sales number is not surprising. I'm very excited for HomeSense. Everyone I've talked to about it is incredibly excited. When I was looking at the pictures of the layout, it made me really happy to see how color coordinated it was, just like across all departments. And what really, I think, struck me was their general store section, which I thought was interesting because I was wondering if it was a play on maybe like a smaller Home Depot or Lowe's rivalry and like what, you know, if they're going to carry cleaning supplies or...
Would they want to? Like, no, I don't think so.
So that'll be interesting to see how that section does and whether people will go in solely for that instead of not like that will really potentially hurt Home Depot or Lowe's, but maybe.
I'm not really thinking. That's why this is kind of a concept store. They are going to open up two other ones in New Jersey this year, apparently. But they're going to see what works in there. And I don't think it's going to have online sales either, right? I would assume no, that it'll be the same concept as Home Goods. They want you to come in the store because, as you said, you end up buying more once you get in there.
Buying more just because it's impulse buying.
Right.
But also their inventory, the turnover rate is so high.
Yeah.
I don't know how that concept would work online.
Right.
Yes, I don't know.
It's much more difficult.
To be honest, I don't know how it really works for TJ Maxx. And I think you can't really buy as much as you can buy in store online.
No.
But
yeah, because you're supposed to want to go in there and find the hidden treasure and the weird, they only have two of these. Oh, I guess I better buy it now.
Right.
And because I'm not going to get it 6 months from now online again. So that makes sense. Yeah. So TJ Maxx, this is one to watch. And the stock in general has been doing real well because of its other chains have been strong as well. But the Home Goods, that home side is definitely where you want to be in retail right
now. Definitely.
Okay, let's go move on to the third company. And this is one that, this is the one that shocked me because I can't believe I'm saying that they're innovators. Mm-hmm. Walmart. Yes, but not really because of what they're doing, but because of who they're buying. So in 2016, they spent a little over $3 billion to buy Jet.com. That was seen as, kind of going up against Amazon and all of that, the online retail side. So that was a big purchase. But then this year, they've been adding a lot of small little companies. Didn't they buy ModCloth too?
They bought ModCloth. They bought Moose Jaw.
Moose Jaw, that was the other one.
Similar to REI. Very like an outdoor
upscale apparel. Kind of upscale apparel.
Yeah, they sell Canada Goose coats. I think you told me that.
Yeah,
maybe they don't anymore. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
They went public. They bought ShoeBuy, which is similar to Zappos, which Amazon owns. I think those are the three other main.
And then the Bonobos or Bonobos.
Bonobos.
I can never say that.
The monkey. Don't Google it. You can Google it, but it might be weird.
Now, that's just men's clothing, isn't it?
It's just menswear. It's okay. An upscale menswear fashion retailer.
And they started solely online, and they were selling online. Chinos and just
They actually started solely as a pants,
okay.
selling pants, and then they expanded into shirts, jackets, suits, sweaters, kind of a whole menswear line. They even have a groom's wear section. So if you need suits for weddings, you can go to Bonobos and get a nice suit.
Now, I feel like this is innovative because while they were selling everything online, they also have brick and mortar, but it's brick and mortar where you just go and they kind of show you the merchandise, they fit you for it, and then you order it online and it's delivered to you.
Yeah, they're called guide shops. And the number of guide shops really have expanded, I think, rapidly since Walmart bought them or announced they were buying them earlier this summer. So you go in, you can make an appointment. You can also walk in because I think they said they get really busy on the weekends, which makes sense. And then similar to places like Trunk Club, which Nordstrom owns, you're hooked up with a guide or a personal stylist and you walk around, you talk about, what you need, what you like, you start trying on things. And once you have like a collection of items that you want, you order them and shipping is free. It's right. You can get items shipped to your house or your office and you're good to go. I think you can also make returns or exchanges right at the store if you want. Bonobos is, it's a really cool concept, these guide shops, these brick and mortar stores.
It feels like Walmart's been keeping kind of hands off. Like they bought these companies, they're letting them operate as they did prior to purchasing them to kind of learn from them and see what's working and, how they can grow that business. Kind of similarly, I know when Walmart bought ModCloth, I remember this, there was this huge outcry of like, I'm never shopping there again.
Same with Bonobos. The customers were like, excuse me.
I can't shop at Walmart. But you're not. You're still shopping at the original brand.
I think Bonobos's product is sold on Jet.com.
Okay.
I haven't looked at it. I haven't verified that.
But they're not on Walmart.
Not on Walmart. No. Not at Walmart stores.
No.
So don't worry.
Neither is ModCloth. Yeah, those they're maintaining the integrity of these brands.
Yeah. But I think that one of the more interesting aspects of this deal is that this allows Walmart, it gives Walmart access to a demographic that it never had before, right? This upscale urban man, if you will.
Yes.
You know, Walmart's been, you know, it is the largest, it's still the largest American retailer, excuse me.
Yeah.
In the country. And Bonobos, it's this niche retailer that, you know, gives Walmart this access to this upper class demographic, sorry, I cannot talk right now, that, you know, it'll help them in its little rivalry with Amazon. So I think it's a really good deal.
What do you think about what Nordstrom is doing? Something similar to this. You talked about their options, but they did just launch this Nordstrom Local, which is, you know, this is similar to what RH has done with the gallery stores. It's inventory free, and it's similar to a couple of these others where you just walk in, you have like a stylist in there, they show you options, then they can ship it to your house and all of that. Is this, you know, is this where you go? I think they're offering manicures and things like that.
Yeah, you can get drinks, you can get juices, you can get coffee. Nordstrom Local sounds really cool. I'm also a huge, I love Nordstrom, so I'm very biased. I'm very open to whatever they do. So I guess like apart from all of the private buyout talks, I think this is a really cool step forward. I think it opened, or it is opening in West Hollywood, so kind of a perfect location for the store. It's much smaller than your average, when your average Nordstrom, you know, Nordstrom, huge department store. This is only around 3,000 square feet. So you walk in, I think at this point you have to make an appointment to shop, quote unquote, shop there. And there's 8 dressing rooms, and one would think there's like a rotating stock of it, not inventory, but they have clothes to try on there.
Right.
And because there's so much back inventory that Nordstrom has, one would think that there's a rotating amount of clothes that come into the store that you try on there, or you make an appointment and you talk with a stylist.
You tell them what you're looking for.
And then they curate a closet for you, and they have that ready.
Right. Yes.
But then you go in, you try on, and you see, you know, what fits, what doesn't, what you like, and then they order it for you, it ships to your house.
Right.
And then if you want to get a manicure, you get a manicure. If you want a glass of wine, you get you have a glass of wine while you're trying on some clothes.
This seems like real labor intensive though.
For the stylist,
Yeah, they have they have to hire them, pay them.
It's very, I think it's also really reminiscent of their Trunk Club venture.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Trunk Club offers alcohol.
Right.
I don't think they offer manicures, but I don't know. It only will work in certain areas.
Sure.
Like West Hollywood, LA, like New York, possibly Chicago.
Yeah. So it's an innovation, but it might not be a game changer type innovation.
Yeah. It is risky, I think, because like you said, there's a lot of money that has to be put into it. You can make returns, like regular Nordstrom returns at the store. So it's supposed to be this convenient, on the go type of store that you can go to.
Okay. We're going to have to keep an eye on that and see if anything, you know, develops out of it, or if it just becomes one of these things that they try.
But this inventory-free concept is clearly taking retail by storm.
Right.
And everyone is trying to implement it in some way. Not everyone, but these
at least the ones we're talking about.
At least the ones we're talking about are trying to do it.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to one of the retailers that things are definitely working, and I still consider them to be an innovator, at least as far as their rewards program goes. So Ulta Beauty, we've talked about it many times. As at the end of July, they had 25.4 million active members in that rewards program. That was up 23% year over year. Soon enough, they're going to have, you know, nearly every woman in America in their rewards program, but the rewards program does work there. We've talked about how it's one of the best ones either of us has ever seen for retailers. Mm-hmm. And it definitely does reward you. A lot of these programs, you sign up for it, you don't really get much. You get, like, you know, some freebie on your birthday or something like that. But you basically get what everybody else gets. But this one actually does reward you the more you shop there, and with good discounts.
Absolutely. And you don't have to have a credit card.
Right. Right. And they also send you, like, freebies in the mail if you get high enough, if you're their platinum members, and you get, you know, some invites to certain things at the store. And they've even said that their reward members shop equally, like, online or at the stores. Like, they also spend more than their non-rewards members, of course. I've talked about how that works. But, you know, some people are getting a little nervous with Ulta that with the 25 million members, that how much more can they grow it?
Right, they might plateau.
Yeah. Are they going to reach some kind of level and then that's going to end? And then people are concerned about those comps, which are the best in the industry. They're going to come down off those highs because they have to. Like, people forget that same store comps mean same store. So whatever the store did the year before, you're trying to do better than what it did the year before, and then the year before that. So literally, if you've been doing double-digit comps for several years, you literally are doing like 30 or 40% more by the time you get to the third or the fourth year out. And those are, like, incredible numbers that no retailer can sustain that kind of growth over, you know, decades at all. It doesn't happen. So you're going to see some slowdown in those comps, but people are concerned still about competition in the beauty area with, obviously, Sephora. Then there's, you know, just even with Amazon, the online side. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the innovation with Ulta really has been this rewards program, and that is going to be their backstop against a lot of competition.
I agree. And I also think we've talked about its partnership with, you know, celebrities like Gabrielle Union. Yeah. And I think if they continue to partner with women like her, exclusives like her. You know, look, I talked to you about it, but look at how well Rihanna's Fenty Beauty line did for Sephora, like the attention it brought to Sephora. Like, if it can keep doing that, you know, get, you know, a celebrity like Rihanna.
Yeah.
Maybe it can continue those double-digit comps, but I think I agree with you. I think it has, you know, its rewards program to fall back on.
Yeah. So that's one to keep in mind. The shares are well off the highs now, but still not real cheap. I also own that one in my personal portfolio and have for a couple of years, but it has pulled back. So if you always wanted to get into Ulta, now might be a time to kind of look around at it if, you know, you're interested in any of these retailers. So that's just a few of the names out there. I'm sure there'll be a few more coming up that, you know, we can see are trying to innovate, because it's innovate or die these days. But these are the leaders, I feel, in the retail side. And it just remains a really interesting area of the economy, basically. So we'll be having more on retail as we get closer to the holiday season, of course. That's our other big time we like to talk about it, because that is the big season for all of the retailers. So we'll be talking about, you know, who's going in on a high note and who may not make it through the retail season, because there's always some losers, and it's such a difficult business right now that unfortunately there'll probably be a few more that might have to throw in the towel if the retail season, the holiday season, is not what they expect. So we'll be talking about that as it gets closer. And you can also check out all of our other podcasts on SoundCloud and on of course, Apple Podcasts, which is iTunes. Now, just to recap some of the tickers again, if you're interested in investing in any of these innovators, we talked about Restoration Hardware, that ticker is RH. And then we had TJX Companies, which is the Home Goods, the HomeSense, which is TJX. Then we had Walmart and all of the companies it's acquiring and trying to do some interesting, unique things, which is WMT. Nordstrom's is in there. We're not sure if they're going to go private or what's happening with them, but that ticker is JWN. And then we had Ulta, ULTA. So for everyone here, we'll see you again next time.